Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 24. Anvaya Vyatirekena.
Anvaya Vyatirekena.
Vivekeno Shatatmana.
Vivekeno Shatatmana.
Svagastana Saman. Nayaya.
Svagastana Saman. Nayaya.
Vimri Shadbir. Asatvarai. Anvaya.
Anvaya.
Directly. Vyatirekena. Vyatirekena. And indirectly.
And indirectly.
Vivekena.
Vivekena.
By mature discrimination. Ushatta.
Ushatta.
Purified.
Purified.
Atmana.
Atmana.
With the mind.
With the mind.
Swarga.
Swarga.
Creation.
Creation.
Stana.
Stana.
Maintenance.
Maintenance.
Samanayai.
Samanayai.
And with destruction.
Memory
shall be
by those making a serious analysis.
Asatvarai,
very sober.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sober and expert persons should search for the spirit soul with minds purified through analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance, and destruction. Purport. A sober person can study himself and distinguish the soul from the body by analytical study. For example, when one considers his body, his head, his hands, and so on, one can certainly understand the difference between the spirit soul and the body. No one says, I head. Everyone says, my head. These are two entities. Thus, there are two entities, the head and I. They are not identical, although they appear to be one conglomeration. One may argue, when we analyze the body, we find a head, hands, legs, a belly, blood, bones, urine, stool, and so on. But after everything is considered, where is the existence of the soul? A sober man, however, can avails himself of this Vedic instruction. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayant yabi samrishanti tad vi gyasava vi ji gyasava tad brahmati tatriya parisha. Thus he can understand that the head, hands, legs, and indeed the entire body have grown on the basis of the soul. If the soul is within the body, head, hands, and legs grow. But otherwise, they do not. A dead child does not grow, for the soul is not present. If by careful analysis of the body, one still cannot find the existence of the soul, this is due to his ignorance. How can a gross man fully engaged in materialistic activities understand the soul, which is a small particle of a spirit 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair? Such a person foolishly thinks that the material body is grown from a combination of chemicals, although he cannot find them. The Vedas inform us, however, that chemical combinations do not constitute the living force. The living force is Atma and Paramatma, and the body grows on the basis of that living force. The force of a tree grows and undergoes six kinds of change because of the presence of the tree. If there were no tree, there could be no question of the growth and maturity of fruit. Therefore, beyond the existence of the body are Paramatma and Atma within the body. This is the first understanding of spiritual knowledge explained in Bhagavad Gita. Deha smita dehe. The body exists because of the presence of the Supreme Lord and the jiva, which is part of the Lord. This is further explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatami dam sarvam jagara vyakti mortina vatstani sarvabhutani na chaham teshvavastitaha. By me, my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. The Supreme Lord exists everywhere. The Vedas enjoin sarva kal vidam brahma. Everything is Brahman, or an expansion of Brahman's energies. Sutremana gana eva. Everything rests in the Lord, just like pearls strung together on a thread. The thread is the principle of Brahma. He is the supreme cause. The Supreme Lord upon whom everything rests. Atat paratram nanyat kin. Thus we must study the Atma and the Paramatma, the individual soul and the supersoul, upon whom the entire material cosmic manifestation rests. This is explained by the Vedic statement, Itova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti. Anvaya vyatire kena vivekeno shatatmana svargastana samam nayai yar vimri shadbir asatvarai. Sober and expert persons should search for the soul, spirit soul, with minds purified through analytical study in terms of the soul's connection with and distinction from all things that undergo creation, maintenance, and destruction. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his schoolmates. And obviously they didn't get the instruction the first time, so we're probably going to have another 30 verses of the same instruction. He's not going to give up until they finally get it. Similarly, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is saying the same thing over and over again in a different way, so we don't notice sometimes he's saying the same thing. Otherwise we think, well, I heard that before. Maybe it was in some magazine somewhere. It was Bhagavad Gita. Oh, the Bhagavad Gita. So here it says that Shetra Shetragya Jnanam Antara Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Ye Vidurya Dite Pura. Now one who can see the difference between the Shetra, that is the body, and the Shetra Jnana, the one who knows the body, both the soul and the super soul. Kshetra gyam chapimam vidhi sarva kshetra shivarata kshetra kshetra gyanam yat tat gyanam itamana. Or kshetra, what is it? Shetra Chaitragaya Evam Adra Yana Chakshusha Buddha Prakriti Moksham Cha Devidoryanti Te Pura. Shetra, the body, Shetragayor, again, the knower of the body, Evam Adra Yana Chakshusha. So Adram is the end. So one who understands, Shetra Chaitragaya Evam Adra Yana Chakshusha. Chakshusha. One who can see the difference between the body and the knower of the body. Kshetra Kshetraya Enam Antra Jnana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha, and can understand the process of liberation from the material concept of life. Yevidu Yanti Taye Pura. He attains to the supreme goal. So it's not that we have to learn a whole lot of things. We just have to learn something well. Namely, that we're not this body. And that there's another person who's with us. We're not alone. that's other persons with everyone, equally with everyone. Now all of this is actually obvious. In other words, it's not a theoretical proposition that we're not this body. It's actually the most obvious thing that exists, the fact that our body is changing, but we're not changing. And if we don't notice that, we don't accept it, that means we're simply in ignorance, that's all. Now someone may claim, I'm very learned, but then you ask them, what's the difference between yourself and your body? And if they claim they are their body, then you know they're not very learned at all, they're completely in ignorance. That's how much knowledge they have. Zero. Now even one who knows that they're not their body by realization, if they don't accept the other obvious fact, of which there's many, but one of them is the fact that this whole material universe is just changing and we don't have to be doing it. Someone may claim that every day the sun comes up because they want it to come up. And if they didn't want the sun to come up, it wouldn't come up. And if you ask them, well, can you bring the sun a little bit closer to the earth? It's getting a little cold. I could do it, they claim. So why don't you do it? Well, I don't want to. What do you want to do? Oh, I just bring the sun up every morning and I put it down whenever I want. Really? Can you bring it up 5 minutes early? That way we can. No, I don't want to. They make so many claims, but they can't do anything. And yet it's all going on. By some intelligence. They may claim it's their intelligence, their power. And then if you ask them, well, why don't you stop your body from changing for a moment? And they go, I could, but I want to. What do you want to do? I want to go to sleep. That's the extent of their power. But we can see the whole universe is just changing at every moment, and no one here has the power to either speed it up or slow it down or to stop it, which means that someone else is doing it for every part of the universe. And when we see that the sun's coming up at a certain time and the sun's going down at a certain time, then we know it's being controlled by intelligence. So there is some intelligent person controlling the entire universe. Otherwise, how can we eat food and without our conscious effort, the food is being digested, assimilated into the body, that the carrot you eat today becomes your nose tomorrow? Or even your brain. So if someone accuses you of having a carrot brain, you shouldn't get disturbed. Because it may be actually a transformation of a carrot in your brain. An intelligent carrot. But this is all going on without any conscious effort on our part, without our even understanding how it's all going on. But it is going on. The scientists may claim they know everything, they practically. But tell me, my dear science, how is my brain being formed? How is that carrot becoming my brain? Well, we practically know. We're just a little bit away. Yeah, really? Well, can you change a carrot into someone's brain? Well, we could, but we don't want to. So this is the same thing. What can you do? Well, we can make a computer. And what does a computer do? It adds numbers together, 0 and 1. Really, I can add 0 and 1 together too. What's the big difference between yourself and your computer? Or my computer goes faster than I do. Well, you seem to be going pretty slow lately. It's not much of a contest. So all you're doing is getting something to add 1 and 0, or recognize what either it's a 1 or a 0, and you're claiming you know everything because you can do that. But what can your computer do? Can it stop my body from changing? Can it stop the sun from rising? What can your computer do? Well, it can kill a lot of people, you know, if you're not nice to me. You press a button and you're finished. I'm really impressed. Can you save anyone? Can you bring anyone back from the dead? No, but we can kill a lot of people. See, it better be nice to us. Well, we're going to die anyhow. What's your big merit? All the villains in the past, the Adolf Hitlers, if Adolf Hitler was alive now, he'd be like, what, he was, what, 18, the 1800s, he'd probably be like 135 years old. He'd probably be dead anyhow. So if someone didn't kill him, or if he didn't kill himself, time would have killed him anyhow, because time's killing everyone. So what's the big glory that you get from being able to kill people quicker? They're already going to die. What are you so much in a hurry to kill them? What do you benefit from killing people? And if you don't kill them, they're going to die anyhow. So what's the value of all your scientific inventions? As Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha Nartasya Chagadam Udanvito Majitao Na. He says that the child, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha, the parents naturally want to give the child some protection. But sometimes the child may die anyhow, in spite of all the attempts of the parents to bring up the child nicely. And similarly, the doctor may try to give the patient very nice medicine to cure the disease. The boat may try to cross the river, and it may be successful. Or the boat may sink, or the child may die, or the medicine may be ineffective. But even if it's effective, even if the child grows up, even if the medicine works, even if the boat crosses the water, everyone dies anyhow. It's not that there's no, is it some ultimate remedy from time? Kalosmi Bharatar Shiva. Krishna says, time I am. So here in the material world, we may not accept the existence of a supreme. We may imagine, in the absence of any other supreme, that we could all compete here to become the supreme. I am Miss Slovenia. Well, I am Miss America. I am Miss World. Well, I am Miss Universe. Why, well, I am, as a matter of fact, not all the contestants came. We're going to invite a few apsaras to come next for the next contest, and we'll see who actually is Miss Universe. You may not be so proud. So everyone is competing to become the greatest, because if the greatest appeared, it would be very disappointing to most people. If you put Srimati Radharani in the contest, then everyone loses. And people would be very disappointed. Get this lady out of the contest. She's not supposed to be here. Mr. The strongest man, Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. Okay, he has 500 kilos, all right. And then Krishna comes and gives a mountain size of Govardhan. Weigh it. Oh, crushes the scale. So no one wants Krishna around because it spoils the fun. All the fun we want to have here in the material world is spoiled as soon as Krishna appears. Then, you know, who's going to claim that, what? I have the biggest butterfly collection, so I'm the greatest. And Krishna says, well, I created all the butterflies. And I can just, you know, immediately Krishna waves his hand, like when the demigods tried to, when Indra became disturbed at Nara Narayan's doing austerity, because Indra is always worried that someone's doing more austerity than him, because austerity is actually what brings one from one place in the universe to another situation. The more austerity you do, then the more you're able to get a better position in your next lifetime. So Indra, he's had so much austerity, he got the position of Indra, and he's always on the outlook to see if anyone's doing austerity with the idea he wants to become Indra. Because there can't be two Indras in the universe, and Indra only wants to be one, have one Indra, namely himself. So he's always on the outlook. Ah, he's trying to take my position, let's send my weapon. And his weapon is an apsara. Because if he killed the meditator, he'd become a dog. So he has to do something else. He has to lure the meditator or the person doing austerity from his austerity. Otherwise, Indra would get into trouble himself. Of course, Indra's always getting into trouble. So he sent in apsaras. He sent the apsaras, and he sent Cupid personified with a bow and arrow to Narayana. So in Narayana, the Cupid drew his arrow to shoot Narayana, and the demigods manifested spring, the birds were chirping, the music was playing, it was all very romantic, the apsaras were dancing, and then nothing happened. And then Narayana manifested apsaras hundreds of times more beautiful than the apsaras that Indra sent. And he manifested Urvasi, who was a chief apsara, inconceivably, unlimitedly beautiful. And then they all became embarrassed. They thought, wow, here we are, we think we're so powerful, we can allure Narayana. And he, within himself, he has beautiful damsels, hundreds of times more beautiful than we are. How are we going to lure him? He already has in himself beauty, hundreds of times more beautiful than we are. So they realized they had made a mistake, because generally speaking, if you don't allure the sage, then he curses you. You become less than a dog. So they're all afraid. They pass the hands and say, please don't curse us. So Narayana says, no, just take one of the apsaras back with you. Give it to Indra. That's really defeating Indra. So they took Urvasi back and to Indra. And Indra realized, leave Narayana alone. So Krishna's, we can't compete with him. Although we're trying, we're thinking, for instance, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto matak smritira jnanam apohanam cha. That Krishna says, I am in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So our disremembering anything means that Krishna is helping us to remember. We have no independence whatsoever in the material world. Without Krishna giving us remembrance, we can't remember anything. And without Krishna helping us forget, we can't forget anything. If you take a test in school, you made a mistake, and you realize, oh, I put the wrong number. And like for 3 hours, I put the wrong number. Whoa, let me forget this. No, I can't forget it. You're depressed for like 3 hours. Let me forget it, sorry. You can't forget. So we may be very proud of our great intelligence, great memory, but it actually comes from Krishna. And we sometimes our forgetfulness also, we can't forget. We're trying to remember something, we can't remember it. We're trying to forget something, we can't forget it. We're trying to understand what's going on, you're trying to solve that crossword puzzle, you just can't do it. And you say, oh, Krishna, please help me. He said, all right, I'll help you. Oh, it's really simple, I knew. I get all the credit, see how intelligent I am. And Krishna's, oh, you rascal. Next time. So it's our duty to actually remember Krishna and to actually understand how he's the actual doer, how we're simply the desirer, and that due to the most material nature, we've forgotten Krishna, we've forgotten ourselves, we're simply absorbed in this material energy and going through one illusion to the next, looking for happiness, which is only found when we actually find Krishna. We give up this idea that somehow or another, I'm going to make the perfect arrangement in the material world that's going to last forever, and I'm going to be the center of the universe, and the sun's going to wake up in the morning and say, where is he? I came here, I got up just to see him. So we're dreaming, that's all. The material universe is just a dream. that we're going to be the center, the sun's going to shine in us, the moon's going to shine in us, people are going to wake up thinking about us. How can I serve him? How can I serve her? So this is all just illusion given to us by the material nature, called the Mosin nature, Maya. And if we want to maintain this illusion, we could be here. We've been here since time immemorial, so we can be here from now into time immemorial. We want to, and we'll wind up in the same place. Coming to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, hearing Deino Smini Tade. Wow, I heard that before. I wonder where. Oh, that's right. So I was time immemorial ago. I was in a Bhagavatam class. I heard the same thing. And I didn't accept it then, and I'm not going to accept it now either. I'm here forever. I'm fixed in my God. So we should become a little bit slack in that vow to stay here forever and try to become the center of the universe. Instead, we should put Krishna in the center, and then we'll actually find out things as they actually are, and they're a lot better than we thought they were. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
So we may have accepted that theoretically that we are not this body, it still may take us decades to start even getting little bits of realization in this regard. So where to start, like where to like really become fixed on the path of like
eat prasadam every day. Oh, we hear. Every time we hear it, we get a little closer. It's not that realization is there when we hear. As much as we can hear it, then we get the realization. But we keep on trying to learn, and we keep on trying to practice what will help us hear better. Then we'll get more realization every time we hear. We hear the body's changing, but we're not changing. Well, automatically we get some realization. Probably you compare it to like a coconut. On the inside of the outside is a husk, and the inside is this like ball, a shell, a hard shell. So after some time, when the coconut becomes mature, the inside falls out, becomes separated. So gradually we'll become separated from this material concept of life. Through the process of hearing and working according to what we've heard, and then gradually we'll be able to hear better. And one day we'll hear Deino Smini Tade. Wow, I'm actually not this body. That's great. I thought I heard it before, but this is the first time I really heard it. Anything else? Thank you very much. Kandarai Shimad Bhagavatam Kidai.